you know, I mean, I share the concern, I guess, that you have is that whatever we do, and by way of opening up, we're going to be inviting other people from maybe less well-controlled areas into our businesses, onto our streets. And the thing that, you know, from the port's perspective, we don't have a police power. We can set guidelines and rules within the port and on port properties. But enforcement is largely voluntary. The folks that are port tenants that have been following this are more or less on board. And follow the rules that are guidelines voluntarily. I think that people that are coming into town with expectations of it being like last summer and finding out that it's not may be frustrated, may not have the same be knowledgeable of the guidelines. I think we're setting ourselves up to have port staff become a quasi police force, something that I am not comfortable with at all. We've had forays into that in the past, and it has not been good. You know, I understand, Pete, that and Pam too. That you know, business is suffering, and it is something that we need to address and be cognizant of. There are some businesses that will do just fine under phase two. There are some businesses that you know, close proximity is a necessity, and it's just going to either take an extraordinary effort, an extraordinary cooperation, or we're not going to get through this. Looks like our time is up. Craig has popped up.
Pam, do you have any comments before we're getting shunted off here?
Well, I'm seeing many independent businesses be able to work this out a little bit better than some of the larger businesses. And the larger businesses have more to consider, and they're really thinking at first about the health of themselves, their employees, and then all of the adjustments that they need to make as we reopen. So I see them being very, very cautious.
KPTZ Port Townsend.
Back to work, but the health of themselves and their workers is paramount.
We had just in closing, and then are you ready for us to hop off, Craig?
Yeah.
So in closing, we did get an email just a little bit ago from our staff. We had it's kind of a spreadsheet, 133 comments about opening or not opening. It was just basically an open or no or partial. Of that, just really broadly, we had 80 that would open either full or partial, and 50 that were no, not to open. So just to give you a little flavor of what the port comments were like. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Good to know that we're, you know, divided in every different sector, but I really appreciate your perspective. And with that, we'll pass it over to Chair Trooper and the PUD Commission. So if we can do our little dance.
Thank you, Chairman Brotherton.
Yeah, let's make sure you get everyone on there. Pam, if you can turn off your screen.
There we go. So we had a board meeting, a business meeting earlier today, and we discussed tonight's meeting, so we kind of already have an order figured out that we'll all give our presentations. Manager Street will go first and give a state of the PUD, so to speak, and then Commissioner Collins will speak, then I will speak, and Commissioner Randall will go last. And we're going to try and reserve a couple minutes at the end of our period of time here, maybe more to take comments since we've actually had meetings and discussed some of this. We'll see how it plays out, but if anyone has questions at the end of our discussion, maybe we'll take that route rather than us hashing things out like the court did. So with that, I'll go to Manager Street.
Hi, we're glad to be here and participate. We are a service provider in Jefferson County, and we have, you know, a different view on things. A lot of our crews have to be here regardless. So at least from our standpoint, we're already open and doing business. We have the necessary PPEs. We've made arrangements to procure through our normal sources the items that we need. We are talking about slowly bringing people back into our office space. We are not talking about opening up for customers. We do occasionally meet with customers. We've tried to, you know, keep the social distancing. Those will stay in place. Our board meetings have been over WebEx. I feel they've been very successful. We've tried to, you know, continue on as normal as possible. We have ran into some costs with the social distancing. You know, we've rented a new truck, trying to keep the crews a little bit more separated. We pushed almost all of our CSRs are working from home. It's working out very well for us. That was a good solution. We divided the crews into trailers, and we think we have some options to help the community moving forward. We've done some Wi-Fi hotspots. We're looking to change our capital work projects a little bit so that we can do more with local contractors, do things. We had a successful program where we have refunded deposits that helped a lot of customers. So the PUD right now, I think we have some options to help the community moving forward. We've done some Wi-Fi hotspots. We're looking to change our capital work projects a little bit so that we can do more with local contractors, do things. We had a successful program where we have refunded deposits that helped a lot of customers. So the PUD right now, we're in a place where we can help. We can do things for other entities. I will say this, the port, the city, the county, you know, we are meeting. Things are, it's a new normal, but there are things we can do together and be very successful at it. You know, the airport Wi-Fi hotspot, we got county permits within hours. The contractor was allowed to come in and start working within days. The port was great to work with, the county. So when we do work together, it works well for the county. I do think the county, we are a tourist economy. We need to allow, you know, some businesses to open up. We can do it slowly, but and a lot of our work right now is for contractors. We're trying to connect and do as much as we can for the construction crews and companies. So we see our role as really being support for as things start coming back on and to partner with other government agencies. So that's really kind of where the PUD is at today.
Commissioner Collins, go ahead.
I appreciate the opportunity to be part of this meeting, and my comments reflect the fact that I'm a PUD commissioner, I'm a former small business owner, and I'm also a licensed mental health professional. And I'm really struck by the fact that this is a painful and, for a lot of people, a very scary time that we're going through. I fully support our moving cautiously into phase two, following Dr. Locke's recommendations. I think that it's important to maintain flexibility because we're moving into uncertain territory. I certainly understand the fact that many businesses are at risk, that there is high unemployment now. The PUD has done what it can to lessen some of that burden on the most vulnerable people in our community. But ultimately, I think it's a question of balancing the risks and the benefits, as Dr. Locke had outlined in his recommendations. Tourism, which is the lifeblood of the community, is, to mix metaphors, it's a mixed bag for us. It comes with increased revenue and increased risks. So I think we need to be vigilant in terms of what this means for all of us, and to monitor very closely. I'm reassured that we have met the needs in terms of the metrics for having protective gear, for having the ability to test and trace, and to have at least, as far as anyone could tell at the moment, adequate hospital capacity. So to reiterate, I fully support our following the recommendations of our health officer and move forward with hope and with caution. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Collins. So I'm Dan Tooper, District 3 Commissioner. The opinions that I have today are my own as an individual commissioner. They don't represent any position or policy that the board has discussed or taken. I'd like to thank county leadership again for seeking comment on the phase two variants. I wish this had been a more expedient process. After listening for weeks to meetings by elected and unelected officials across the state, I can appreciate the hard work that everyone, elected and non-elected, are putting forward to assess the implications of weighing public health and public safety against other considerations. I would advocate that our county be given the opportunity to demonstrate that they can follow reasonable recommendations rather than force them into obeying or disobeying unrealistic or discriminatory rules. There are really ready to move forward, as the EDC survey showed. We shouldn't complicate this situation any more than it already is. Keep it simple. I believe we should take full advantage of phase two of the Washington State Safe Start Plan. Arbitrary and capricious steps by, you know, any leadership, county leadership, whoever it may be, that could hinder or discriminate against certain businesses is unfair, unwarranted, and should be avoided. I would reiterate also that the people and businesses of this county deserve a chance to make their own choices and prove their ability to reopen under the full capacity of state guidelines and federal guidelines. As a county, we should actively take the proper steps also in already looking at phase three, and it was discussed by the port a little bit. I don't know what the timeline on that would be, but as slow as this second phase is taking us, we should already, quite honestly, be looking at phase three that's going to, you know, get us into businesses being able to have the amount of people they need to be viable and make their business models work. The governor's announcement today to allow our neighboring counties to apply for phase two. I've listened to Washington State Associated County meetings, Association of Public Utility District meetings, all sorts of different things. And those, I know those counties are going to be moving forward fast on many instances. I think any type of enforcement mechanisms, you know, will be problematic and complicated for county leadership, not only to try and enforce, but to message to the public in the time frames we're looking at. A lot of the personal habits that have, and tendencies that people are in are already there. You're not you know, we're not going to gain much in a couple of weeks in the way of getting people to change what they're already doing, whether it's masks, washing their hands, distancing that. I think everybody, unless they were living on another planet, has kind of figured a lot of that stuff out. So, you know, if those mandates or local directives go against, you know, people's, you know, if they violate state or U.S. Constitution or our civil rights or personal property, that's going to get complicated and be a problem. So I think the simpler we keep this, you know, I think the better off we're going to be. If county phase alternatives look arbitrary, capricious, or discriminatory, you know, like people are being micromanaged or there's overreach or it's too political or we're too slow in keeping up with our neighbors, citizens and businesses are just going to choose to ignore those. And again, how are you going to enforce that? You know, people are getting desperate. A lot of families, I've talked to a lot of businesses, and, you know, a lot of them, their lives and livelihoods and the futures of families are being crippled or destroyed with every passing day, not week, every passing day, more, you know, more people are feeling the brunt of this. So with that, I think I will pass so we have enough time for Commissioner Randall to speak and maybe take a question or two if necessary or beat this around a little more. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. And I'd like to echo what others have said. Thank you, commissioners and Board of Health, for pulling this together. It's encouraging to see us all working together. I'm going to speak from a little different perspective. As I think about it, the PV is a lot like our healthcare industry that we need to have. And if we had a lot of people get sick in the hospital and doctors and so forth, there's no backup really there in the community. And we saw that in New York and other places, you can get overwhelmed. And I guess my main concern is the PUD has done a fantastic job, in my opinion, of keeping the lights on and serving the public while doing it remotely. And we're here to support the community. We're here to support economic activity in the community, education opportunities through broadband and so forth. But speaking for our staff, I think as we go forward with this and we open things up, if we did get a resurgence of coronavirus, and we're going to do everything we can to keep our staff safe, if we did get that in and amongst our staff, I mean, Kevin can speak to this a little bit too, we don't have a lot of backup to keep things on. And that, I kind of think of us as kind of like hospital care providers. We keep the lights and the power and the water and all that stuff going, and we don't have a bunch of extra people to do it with if we have a lot of people get sick. So I very much appreciate the comments of Dave Robeson about the PDA, about the port and camping, the chamber and EDC about the businesses. And I guess the other thing, too, is it seems like this has gone on a really long time. But in reality, we've probably, you know, this lockdown has been kind of in place for about 2 months now. And as we think, how long is it going to take to get a vaccine? It could be another year. It could be another, you know, 8 months to a year or something. So I think we do have to see some economic loosening. We have to see some social loosening so people can get out and do things. But the more that the Board of Health and the county commissioners and everybody can really preach to people what that means to do it in a safe manner. How can we start getting a little more economic activity and a little more social activity in a safe manner so that if we see people getting sick, it doesn't overwhelm our system, health or the PUD or otherwise. So you guys have to make the tough decisions. We'll, you know, be here supporting the PUD to try and keep all the infrastructure working. And I really want to acknowledge Kevin and the staff's work in getting the Wi-Fi spots up, and we'll hopefully be doing more of that. But we're here to help, but those are kind of my concerns. Thank you.
So we still have about 2 minutes, gentlemen. Did you want to any back and forth, or do you want to pass it on to one of the other chairs if they have questions?
Let me make one additional comment. Having read through several of the public comments, we really have a diversity of opinion, not surprisingly, in the community. And there are people in our community who want to open everything up all at once. They're ready to do that. There are also people who expressed real concern about even moving into phase two. So it's a difficult decision to make, and I think trying to chart something of a middle course seems to be the most reasonable approach. And I think Dr. Locke's recommendations were very well thought through, and I think most of us are really supportive of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I would add one more thing. You know, everyone is essential. I think that's what you need to keep in mind. Who's deciding what is essential and what is not, to me, is subjective. Everyone and every business and, you know, everyone's health, it's all essential. And I think the new normal for me, in my eyes, is going to be that, you know, people are going to have to make a determination for themselves on their, you know, their exposure to risk. I mean, there's going to be risk. Life is fraught with risk, known and unknown. So, you know, we can play it safe and still end up with the same results. So I'm all for being metered, but I think we have some things that really need to be dealt with and need to be dealt with expediently. Commissioner Brotherton, do you want to ask any questions or take it from here?
You know, well, please stick around, but, you know, we're about at the time, so let's keep moving through, and we'll have some questions back. I think what a great team response there at the end, but with that, we'll pass it over to Mayor Sandoval and the City Council.
Greg, without starting the clock ticking, I want to ask you a question. If we do have questions, we plan to have those answered during the Board of Health comments, is that correct?
If you've got questions to ask, it would be ideal to ask them during this period. If we're, you know, if you need to push it for another minute or so, we can always give more time to the other agents. Got a lot of people
during,
to talk.
During this time, yes, because we don't have the luxury of only having three people representing the City of Fort Townsend, so we have a very truncated time. We have 15 minutes. So that is approximately 2 minutes and 17 seconds per each of us. So I'm not even counting John. So sorry, John. So we'll go ahead. I'll come up in the rear. I'll go ahead and pass off to Pam Adams for her first comments, and we'll go down the line, and then I'll be last. You're muted, Pam.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mayor Sandoval, and I feel like I have made many comments since I'm wearing two hats and for Board of Health and for City Council. I'm generally in favor of following the recommendations of Dr. Locke. I think they were science-based and thoughtfully balanced between risk and benefit. So I would like to say a little bit something else and not so much on the actual recommendations of Dr. Locke, but how we will be able to help our businesses that we do decide can open up partially or fully, depending on which ones we vote on the 21st, how the city particularly, and then, of course, the other entities, including all the other electeds, all the other board members, all the CEOs of the entities that we've been talking to and about today, can work together to enable this opening, whether it's partial or full, be as easy and safe as possible, or at least relatively smooth. You know, is there something that we can each do to ease the burden on the individual businesses, the hair salons, barbers, you know, retail curb, retail, whatever it is that is changing from closed to partial opening or closed to full opening. What is it that we all can do together as a community to help with some of the physical problems, some of the financial problems, and any ways that we can help people, the community, feel safe when they are visiting these newly opened businesses. So I'm hoping that we can still work as a whole county together to make the whatever is decided on Thursday and whatever the state decides when we ask for a variance, that we can help our community move into it easily and safely and somewhat smoothly. So that's my comment.
You're muted, Michelle.
Thank you, David. Olin, do you have comments? Or questions? Because Greg said this was the time to propose questions.
Well, a comment, and there are probably some questions involved. So I just want to echo what people have said about thank you for including all of these different bodies in the process. I do fully support Dr. Locke's recommendations for what to include in phase two and that we should apply for the limited reopening. And I have concerns kind of in three groups. And this actually draws from some of the things that Dave Robison was talking about with the PDA. I see it as some things about where are we, understanding the present situation, what's in front of us, what are the immediate choices we have to make, and then where do we want to go? So under the where are we header, there's important news that came out today. This the governor has invited 10 more counties to apply for a variance to enter phase two early. And really what that comes down to for me is flattening the curve is about distributing the risk in time, so spreading the risk of overwhelming our healthcare system. And another part of flattening the curve and distributing the risk is distributing it in space. And if our neighboring counties, in particular Kitsap and Clallam, are going to be advancing to phase two, then that really lessens the risk of Jefferson County being uniquely attractive to visitors from other places where COVID-19 is more prevalent. Another thing that has just happened today, City Manager Morrow announced some pilot projects for opening streets to allow people to circulate in the outdoors, and so that is another way of distributing risk in space. So that's kind of, these are some immediate changes right in front of us. So, in terms of what I've seen for the public comment and people's concerns about making this decision, it's primarily about retail, food service, businesses that are going to be bringing people in, from those areas where COVID-19 is more prevalent, tourist-oriented, for lack of a better word. And I think we have to honor each individual business's choice whether to open or not. But to support that choice, we also need to give them strong and clear guidelines and support and potentially economic support for masking. Is it required? Is it recommended? Who provides the masks? Hand sanitizing or hand washing? Crowd control, entry control? If we're limiting the number of people who can be in a space, who enforces that limit? Who makes those determinations? So that's the kind of things that our businesses need to support. And then the third aspect, where do we want to go? And again, this is building off of some of the things that Dave Robison said for the report. We really need to be looking at what is a new business model, and this is not just for the Ford, but really for our entire economy. This is an opportunity to rethink where we want to go in the future, and better prepare to address the challenges that we thought 2020 was going to be about, like climate change, affordable housing, food security, living wage jobs. So
I'm sorry. We're supposed to stick to about 2 minutes, so let's try to keep it at that. I know it's difficult. Ariel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just really appreciate the collaboration between all of the elected officials. We should do this again without the pandemic next time. I'm very much in support of clear communication, whatever the outcome is of the ultimate vote. I think just letting people know what the rules are is going to be a big task, and we really want to make sure that there's signage and that that's available and that there's many different places that people can get that information and that there's help. And this has been talked about before, but I think it is going to be key for the different businesses to get some navigation about where to go. Sounds like they have that. That's in the works, but just making sure that some of those specifics, that there are places where they can get that information on a local level and specific to their local business here. I'm in favor of as much outdoor activity as possible. I'm really thrilled about the city's initiative of the open streets. I think that's a great example of getting creative. That's encouraging healthy, safe, physically distant activities. And I think the more of that that we can do, the better. I probably am a little bit more in favor of allowing camping than Dr. Locke's recommendation, but at the same time, I certainly appreciate why that recommendation was made the way that it was. I'm also very mindful of the fact that, you know, this pandemic is hitting the lowest income among us the hardest, and so whatever we can do to support the most vulnerable. So I'll wrap it up and just say that, in general, I'm very much in support of the recommendation. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ariel. Deputy Mayor Faber?
Cheryl, so just like this, first of all, respond to the allegation or the idea that those who are concerned about moving into phase two seem to just be wanting to wait for a vaccine. I think the key here, and this is evidenced by Dr. Locke's recommendations, that, you know, we're really looking for ensuring that whatever R naught happens to be regarding the transmission of COVID-19 is manageable. So sufficient testing and contact tracing protocols, making sure that this disease doesn't get out of control for our healthcare system and overwhelm our capacity to provide needed medical care. With that in mind, I think that provided that Dr. Locke does think that we can manage our R-naught here, I'm comfortable with the recommendations generally. I think I agree with Ariel that I'm not as concerned about the camping as the recommendations seem to be, but then again, I think listening to the medical science, and if there are medical scientific reasons why we wouldn't want to open up camping, then by all means. I do have one concern regarding the recommendations, and that goes to this local-only concept for the barbers and stylists, pet grooming. What does local mean? What does in area mean? And how is that going to be enforced or monitored? And who is deputized to do that if it's not going to be any of our governmental officials? I spoke to some local barbers and stylists since the recommendations came out, and they expressed a lot of concern about not having good, clear guidance on what that means, knowing that they have customers that live just beyond the county lines in either direction. But then we have people who live even further away who are in county. What is the delineation and how is that going to be determined? And I also want to note that any kind of locals only policy has the risk of disadvantaging anyone who's socially disconnected, anyone who's a recent arrival, and particularly falling through the cracks here might be undocumented immigrants, which, as a welcoming city, that seems to fly in the face of what I think our policy should be. So I think we can drop locals only, but otherwise I'm comfortable with Dr. Locke's recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Amy?
So I am very pleased that our elected officials at the county level are taking a slow and measured approach to pursuing well-considered and logical public policy. That is not always the way things are these days, so I'd like to take a second to appreciate that. This is a dangerous and delicate balancing act, and we cannot stay shut forever. and opening is not going to be entirely safe. So with that, I would like to take a second to speak directly to the community. I would like to implore you to respect businesses as they reopen, to respect them as they follow the best practice guidelines to keep themselves and their customers safe. It is not about you. It's about your neighbor. It's about your grandma. It's about your kid. Be safe. Be kind. Be patient. And don't be a jerk. This is an opportunity for us to hit a reset button. It's an opportunity for us to treat each other well. It's an opportunity for us to be the best community that we can be. We will need to open at some point. So let's do that right and let's do it well. I would like to second David's concerns about the locals only policy. I don't know how that would be even remotely enforceable. And if you have a second home here, if you have an address here, are you a local? You can prove that you have a home here. So I don't think that that is reasonably enforceable. And other than that, I think that we do have to move forward. And it scares me, quite honestly. I would like to say that I am scared. So let's do it kindly. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. I'll just go ahead and say that Councillor McHager lost audio, so she went off the call and is just listening now. She just wanted me to say, I asked her if she had any comments, and she just wanted to say that she concurs with Dr. Locke's recommendation. Okay. City Manager Morrow.
I think I don't have to collaboration is urgently required, and I look forward to keeping future recovery and resilience as our poll star, and look forward to that item on this agenda later tonight.
Great. Okay, I'll go ahead and make my comments. First of all, I want to appreciate the leadership in this county that took the time, both the EOC, Dr. Locke, Public Health, County Commissioners, PUD, the court, the stakeholders that came together to try to make a thoughtful decision. People thought we were too slow, some people, and I would just suggest that if this was a decision that you didn't want pushed through, that pushing it through over a weekend with no public process and no public comments like many of the counties did probably wouldn't be your cup of tea if you were against a decision that was made that way. So we had tried to be transparent and bring as many people in and as many comments into the process. I was grateful to be able to read all of the various comments, and they were mixed. And we are a small community. We all want to open. We all would love for this not to have happened. It's about how to open and how to open safely. I'll just say that for myself, as a past restaurant owner, I feel for the restaurants and bars. I've owned two restaurants and bars, and I think if I was closed for 2 months, I would be out of business. As a current real estate owner, it's a people business. And we would put not only our agents at risk, but the people that we serve at risk. It's a dangerous business with COVID. As an independent contractor, you don't qualify for a lot of the unemployment that has become available. As a city councilor, I hear from a lot of people that have nervousness about this. And a lot of business owners that are up against a wall, and I get it. And lastly, I want to say that as a wife of a recent stroke victim, my husband can't get into acute rehab because it's not considered an essential health care. So lives are affected, and I get it. But we need to make thoughtful decisions. And I think that Dr. Locke and the Health Board has done that. What I would like to see is something that Owen had talked about, is wouldn't it be wonderful if we could provide all of the necessary items for the businesses in regard to a care package for each business that is currently closed, the PPEs, the sanitation wipes, the masks, everything that they need to start, making sure that we can provide the washing stations. They already are under duress. It would really be a great community effort to be able to provide them with these things, so they don't have to search for them, nor would they have to pay for them. In other countries, of course, governments are providing freezes on mortgages and monthly payments. We don't live in that kind of society, but as a community, I think that we could possibly come together to be able to support our businesses that are under such duress and their workers that are under such duress. Lastly, I promised a few people that I would ask this question, and hopefully we can, when we hear from Dr. Locke and the health board, I can get this answered. And that is, high schools would like to have their graduations at the drive-in, and they would like to have a stage in which their diplomas are actually handed out. They would like the drive-in to be open. We understand, I heard Chair Westerman push for that. But they're concerned that they can't actually have a handoff of a diploma. And with gloves, with sanitation wipes, there are many members of this community that would like to see their children get a diploma. And so I would just like to ask that question. Lastly, I just really wanted to say that I'm so thankful for all the people that took time to comment, call me, text me, however they got a hold of me. To all of the staff for the city, the county, the port, the PUD, that are working hard under a lot of difficult circumstances, and to the leadership that this community has shown. Thank you, Greg, for allowing us to comment.
All right. A lot to the city council. A lot to ponder there. Thank you very much for your contribution. And with that, we will pass it off to Dr. Locke. Do you have any comments or responses? I know you have at least one specific question, Dr. Locke. Yeah? You're still muted, Dr. Locke. We're going to be pros at some point. I do the same thing all the time.
Well, at least I got the camera on. Thank you. I appreciate all the comments about the recommendations, and I certainly won't try to go through those in any detail now or revisit the sort of analysis behind it. But I will summarize it. It is really what motivated me to not recommend the full range of phase two modifications, as they're known, is this being very mindful of what could be the unintended consequences of a rapid influx of tourists from areas of the state where this pandemic coronavirus strain is still circulating at unacceptable levels. And I was not alone in this realization. I received over 100 emails, most of which were pointing this out, is that we are a county with a high percentage of residents over the age of 65, and that a very attractive tourist destination, and the proximity to Seattle and the I-5 corridor. And a lot of this concern rested around the fact that not only were there are these risk factors, but if Jefferson County pursued the full implementation of phase two, we would be the only one in Northwest Washington doing it at this point in time. But as Commissioner Hanke pointed out, this is a very fluid process. And since that Board of Health meeting, as of today, the governor has announced further modifications of this variance process. And so now removing the population size and removing the requirement that you can not have any cases for 3 weeks or longer, that the counties that surround us, so Kitsap, Clallam, Island, and Mason, are all eligible, and as far as I'm aware, all interested in pursuing this phase two kind of modifications. And moreover, even though there hasn't been any official state declaration on this, based on the metrics, the measures that the state has released from moving from one phase to the other, it looks like at least four counties in Washington State are not going to meet those metrics as of June 1st. So the date that we would see statewide movement to phase two is really uncertain at this point, much less movement to phase three. It's really based on how successful we can be at suppressing this infection, because we know as things open up, that's going to cause increased transmission risk, and we're going to see more cases. And it just comes down to a matter of can we manage those cases. And just to let people know what the target is, the management target is to try to keep the number of cases below 10 per 100,000 population over a two-week period. And so for Jefferson County, that means three or less confirmed cases every 2 weeks. You know, if we can do that, we are keeping things in as good a control as is probably technically feasible for us to do. So I think the governor's newest changes are very relevant, and it's something that I hope the Board of Health will be considering. We in our discussions last week, we really talked about these restricted services as being restricted until the rest of the state opens up, and then Jefferson County would no longer have the only restaurants open in northwestern Washington. But it's at least worth discussing whether this should be a regional kind of issue. If this whole region opens up, then should that be a trigger to remove those final restrictions from Jefferson County? And we are having the Board of Health meeting in just 2 days, and I'm preparing some different draft recommendations for the board to look at along those lines. I just in responding to some of the comments, the issue of the locals only language, the Board of Health very much agreed that was not a good designation, and they changed the language. So the way the language reads now is pre-existing customers. And even that, we have no way of legally enforcing that. It's really a recommendation or a guidance. But the hope was that barbers and nail salons and these type of businesses would focus on their existing clientele. Several have written to me and said that's what they wanted to do. They were not looking to have customers from Seattle or Everett come to Jefferson County for a haircut. They wanted to serve their existing client base. So that's what's behind that. In terms of camping, this is certainly arguable as to how much of a driver this is to tourism. The biggest concern there would be to be the only camping open again in northwestern Washington. And if that dynamic changes, it would be less of a factor. Also in this last week, we received some clarification from the governor's office. The governor's original ban on camping only applied to state lands, so state parks. So it doesn't involve private camping, and presumably counties can decide for themselves. So that's what we were told from the governor's office. It's state parks only. So then finally, graduation. This I actually made a personal appeal to the Department of Health on this, and an endorsement of drive-in theaters in general and in particular for graduation ceremonies. And just this last week, they released guidance documents that certainly does permit graduation in drive-in theaters when a county moves to phase two. So it is a requirement that you be in phase two. And although we haven't talked about it specifically, there probably is some way with masks and gloves to deliver diploma safely. And that would largely be at our discretion locally, is to come up with a plan that we think is protective of health. So it looks like, yes, I told the school superintendents that to keep planning for their drive-in graduation in the second week of June. And with that, I'll just leave it at that. If there's any additional questions I can answer, I'd be happy to try to do that, either now or later in the meeting.
Okay, Dr. Locke, let's try to keep on track, and we'll open it up to the Board of Health in a moment for questions, and then if we have time, we'll open it up to everyone. I guess I will talk quickly about the next steps to consider a phase two variant. I will say I talked with Commissioner from Clallam County, and I'm glad that you're in contact with, you know, the Clallam County health officer as well as Kitsap. And it looks like they're going to look at a plan next Wednesday, is the information that I have. So I think there's interest, but we'll see what the recommendation is. But for us, the short of it is this. On Thursday, May 21st, the Board of Health will meet one more time at 2:30 p.m. virtually and captured in the county's AV capture. We'll continue to receive written public comment at boh@co.jefferson.wa.us until, I think we said, 8:30 a.m. on the 21st to give members time to read any comments. We'll speak again with Dr. Locke, discuss the last refinements of the phase two variance plan, perhaps look at a couple different iterations with a more regional approach, or perhaps someone will bring something large, but we'll hash it out there and emerge with a recommendation. We'll also be discussing masking as a separate issue. The BOCC has a special meeting virtually and captured for all time on Friday, the 22nd at 2:30 as well. There we will give an up or down vote, probably after pontificating for a while, and submit, hopefully, whatever variant application we come up with the afternoon of Friday, May 22nd. We'll make sure to get the necessary documents, including the letter from the hospital, the letter from the BOCC, the plan document with the various requirements about isolation, quarantine, shelter capacity, and other plan elements, all ready to go, so we have a complete packet and application upon any BOCC vote. Now, if we're going to jump ahead of the fray, we want to do it in a planned and measured way. And sometimes a brand goes beyond a hashtag. You know, I think of Boston Strong as one that really, you know, unified a town as well into action. And when I think of Back on a Strange Time, Jefferson County Cares, hashtag JEFCO Cares, as Arlene describes our community's reaction perfectly. We're all in another interminable virtual meeting because we care. We care, and we continue to look for ways that we can lead and support in our response to the sacrifices of personal liberty and our economy we have all made in the interest of public health. We should remember going forward that this is not the only area our healthcare system needs work. I think looking at how we prioritize and even define public health is a positive change we can work toward during this tragedy. What I hear people wanting is support as they open up. Every business is different, and the smaller it is, the harder these measures are to implement or even interpret sometimes. More work on the shoulders of overwhelmed mom-and-pop operations is not what I want to set up. Doesn't seem resilient. So as part of JEFCO Care, Jefferson County Public Health is working on a voluntary and free program for any small business working to open up in phase two or review their phase one operation. Through this voluntary and free program, a business can sign the JEFCO Cares pledge and receive support from our staff to make sure that your business is keeping your workers and your customers safe. We'll be training volunteers from the Department of Emergency Management and the Chambers to take over this program so that the JEFCO Care pledge to their business that is following the best practice to keep staff and customers safe will continue. Again, this is voluntary and free, not necessary to get. This is only if it will help. As we saw some numbers from the EDC, it sounds like most people think that they're okay. But if you need help, this is the county lending a hand to businesses. And in talking about this program, I would be remiss not to mention Mina Kwanza, who is one of our food inspectors at Public Health and will be a leader on this Jeffco Cares team. She's one of the first county employees I came into contact with while first opening the Quilting Village store in late 2011. The first thing she did was ask where she could wash her hands. I stood quietly while she washed her hands for 20 seconds, like she was going into surgery, it seemed then. And, you know, I've gained a lot of respect for how Mina does her job over the years, and I've told that story a couple times. The moral has changed because as I tell it now, I realize that was the first time I saw someone outside of a hospital actually wash their hands appropriately. My parents didn't teach me the right way, and I hadn't taught my daughter the right way to wash her hands. Mina gets it. The public health team gets it. She and the Jeffco Cares team will help your business be safer for your staff and for your customers. You will help us keep Jefferson County safe for our residents, for our workers, and our tourists, who we love. And with that, I will turn it back over to Chair Westerman and invite the Board of Health back onto the screen for pretty much an open conversation. We're running just a few minutes late, but we have the other panelists and agencies still on the board. So I'll stop talking and pass it over to Chair Westerman.
Thank you very much, Greg. I'd like to give the members a chance to speak to the public and to everybody who's listening here. So, Case, do you want to go first? Case?
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
As I said, I represent the public hospital district here on the board. And the first thing I'd like to say is that the public hospital district has actually been on its own phase journey to be able to increase care. And so just this week, the district is allowed to provide much more than just emergency care. And I would urge everyone in this community who has deferred the care that they need to please go get the care that you deserve. Number one, it's good for your health. And number two, it's important because our public hospital district cannot survive if it is not providing service. So I urge people to go. I will be going for my own dermatology treatment tomorrow. It's a very safe and important service. I do have some of my thoughts.
Yeah, it's kind of short. We only have 15.
Yes, I understand that. I do have a couple of comments. I have changed my opinion in the last, just listening to people today, so I want to thank people for sharing their thoughts. I'm more encouraged to allow camping. I'm more encouraged to leave more discretion to individual businesses. I'm certainly supportive of our requiring a certain amount of masking. And the question that I would have of Dr. Locke is, if we ask for the full opportunity to implement phase two, does that mean that everything has to be implemented, or do we have some control over how the businesses can phase into both applying for and being able to make their own choices as to whether or not a restaurant is able to safely open, as an example?
Dennis, answer that now. I thought you might want to wait till the end. I'm just afraid people won't get a chance.
I agree.
Dennis?
Yeah, thank you, Sheila. Just very briefly, I think it's important to disclose each of our approaches to making this decision, and I think that my approach to making the decision is one that simply reject the idea that it's an either or. I think that's generally my approach to all decision making. This is a balancing act, and I think that to accept the problem to be framed as an either or is the wrong way. In other words, it's not the economy versus public health. Our challenge is to balance those things and to as best as possible come up with a solution that advances the interests of public health and the economic interests. So that said, to echo something that Kay said and that
To reflect my way of thinking on this is that, as Dr. Locke already pointed out at our last Board of Health meeting, you revised the language of locals versus non-locals, stressing that it was important to think of it as not that kind of either-or dichotomy. Similarly, I would be supportive now that the surrounding counties are able to apply for the variance and not knowing what they're going to apply for. I think it would be within our ability to go forward with the recommendations.